So, have you heard it's Shrimp Fest at participating Red Lobsters?
Have you heard that certs now have retsin?
You know, Trish, I have a confession. I was paid to say that. I am a word-of-mouth marketer.
Well, I too have a confession. I am also a word-of-mouth marketer. And furthermore, my grandfather was eaten by a red lobster, and now I'm very offended and leaving.
Well, that didn't go well. Word of mouth has always been valued as a most reliable way to drive someone to your business. But that's honestly come by word of mouth. What about this new trend of companies paying shills like me and Trish to spread the word for a fee? And just how much should that fee be? Walter Carl is a professor of communications and business at Northeastern University. He's also founder of a word of mouth marketing research firm called Chat Threads. Hello, Professor Carl.
Hello, how are you?
Great. First, let's quickly explain what we're talking about. Give us an example of word of mouth marketing that someone may encounter.
Sure. I think we really need to understand right out of the gate the definition of word of mouth marketing, and maybe contrast actually with some of the examples that you were just providing.
Correct. Yeah.
So first of all, word of mouth marketing is really about providing reasons for people to talk about your brand, your product, your service, your mission, whatever type of organization you are, and giving them the tools to help people to do so. That's a real broad general definition. It actually word of mouth itself is really it's consumers or stakeholders, citizens, depending on what type of organization. It's talking about the company, about their services, what they offer from one to another, where people aren't getting paid by the company themselves or aren't employees of the company, etc. And traditionally, of course, that's done by word of mouth in an oral medium. But given all the recent explosions of technology and various social media like blogs, podcasts, things like that, there's a whole new range of tools that can be used for people to share their thoughts with one another.
Isn't there, though, this trend? I mean, I have read many stories about liquor companies and so forth, kind of hiring people to talk up their brands in bars, and that does happen, right?
Absolutely, it does. And I think what we really need to do is make a real clear line that that's not word of mouth marketing. That's shill marketing. That's stealth marketing. That's undercover marketing. And those types of things just really aren't acceptable, both from an ethical perspective and in some countries, a legal perspective.
So how does word of mouth marketing, when done ethically and above board, how does that work in a best case scenario?
Best case scenario, word of mouth marketing starts from a foundation of listening, actually. There's a lot of people talking about you. In fact, my research at Northeastern indicates that about 15% of all our conversations include a reference to an organization, brand, product, or service. And there's just, millions and millions of conversations. A lot of companies are monitoring the web for discussions that take place on blogs, customer forums, discussion boards. And what you can do is you can actually listen to these conversations as people are happening them in their naturalistic environment and learn from them, get insights, get product ideas, understand that there may be problems with your product or your customer service experience, and actually reach out and address those kind of proactively.
Now,
So that's one. Yep.
I was just going to say, in the old days, wasn't word of mouth marketing, didn't that just naturally spring forth and perhaps it wasn't harnessed by the companies? But, you like Downy and so you tell your friend, hey, Downy's really good. There have been great developments in that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that still goes on. That's what we call kind of organic word of mouth, and it's still very important. The problem is companies never really paid a lot of attention to it because they were so focused on big media spend, advertising, broadcast media that, is kind of one way and using kind of very traditional media. And it was very difficult to measure. What companies now are seeing is you can measure this stuff. You can see it when it's online. The company that I work in my academic research actually focuses on a lot of the offline word of mouth that goes on as well. But when you can start to realize that this stuff is important, it's consequential, and you can measure it, you start paying more attention to it,
And so,
which companies frankly should have been doing all along.
so how do you measure it? How do you measure just sometimes it's just called the buzz or people are talking about X, Y, and Z. How do you measure it?
Right. Well, a lot of companies are measuring in the offline world, they're measuring the amount of buzz that takes place. So there's various tools. Some are kind of free do-it-yourself tools like Technorati or Google. Nielsen offers a blog pulse survey or service that you can use to track the conversations that are going on. And people there are looking for how much word of mouth is going on, whether it's positive, negative, or neutral. And you can line that up to when you're rolling out like a new product. You can see when you first launch it, is there a lot of people talking about it? Well, what are they saying? And then as you do, launch a TV ad, what does that affect for the word of mouth? And so that's one way that people are measuring it. We also measure it in the offline world as well through asking people to tell us about the conversations that they have. Other companies are looking at people's likelihood to recommend. So they ask people, how likely are you to recommend this brand, product, or service to a friend or a colleague or a family member? And they track that over time.
Is it just quality that makes you recommend it, or is there something else that a company can do to push not just having people have a positive interaction with the product, but then taking the next step of mentioning that to a friend?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a in the academic research, you look at the role of satisfaction, and it's a U-shaped curve. So if you think about a U, at the top of it, if people are really dissatisfied with the product, you'll have negative word of mouth. And at the other end, if they're really positively satisfied with it, they'll, at an extreme level, they'll go and they'll have word of mouth. But if they're just kind of passively satisfied with it, kind of towards the bottom of the U, they don't really talk about it because, well, what's there to say? It kind of met their expectations, but it wasn't. So you have to do something really remarkable, either positively or negatively, to get people to talk about the product. So that can be through making a really, an innovative product. That can be doing something, having a great customer service experience, having it satisfy a need that surprised people that they didn't realize that they could use it. So there's a lot of things in product design, but also customer service experience that people can do to have people talk about
the
product.
So is what you do, you advise companies, do you advise them how to push people from the trench of the U to the right side so that they're more satisfied? Or do you advise them to how to grab those people in the trench of the U and somehow, even though they don't love the product that much, talk it up?
Well, I think some companies, first of all, your first strategy, if you have negative word of mouth, so that would be at the kind of upper left of the top of the U, you want to, first of all, minimize that. So find out what the problems are, what the concerns are, and address them. Because that negative word of mouth can be really damaging to a company, and that can spread very quickly. But also, if you just have kind of a lackluster product or a product that's just kind of satisfying, just kind of meets basic needs, mm-hmm. you need to do something special, unique, that will create an experience such that people will want to talk about it.
And you put a cost on it. How much is word of mouth mentions? How much are they worth?
Well, these are the word of mouth recommendations, and this is the value of a conversation. And it can vary based on the industry or the product category. We did one for a consumer packaged good product, and it was something that people use every day. Unfortunately, I can't tell you what it was, but what we measured was each time a consumer had a conversation about this particular product, the company made 50 cents. That mm-hmm. was the bottom line impact to it.
50 cents. Now, that's how much.
50 cents. Now that can range if it's a much bigger ticket item, if it's a computer, for example, or if it's a digital, MP3 player, that may be much more.
Right.
Now it could be a negative number too, which means that the program or that product isn't doing well in the marketplace.
You could tell me it was the Epilady leg hair removal, right?
How did you know?
I knew it was the Epilady. Walter Carl studies word of mouth marketing at Northeastern University, and he's the founder of word of mouth marketing research firm called ChatThreads. Thank you, Professor Carl.
Thank you.